Thank you, Pastor. All right, amen. It's good to be saved, amen. And I guess that's on. Lord might come today, and we'd be out of here. Praise God, let's go. Amen. But let's see, I had about five things I wanted to mention. I should have written them down. The latest books on the table, just to give you an explanation. This one here, Even As God, just to give you kind of a background. If somebody... I'm giving a nutshell. Have you ever had somebody break your heart? In other words, they trespassed against you, usually a loved one or a close friend. And then, the ways down the road, they said, look, let's forgive, let's go on, you know, and stuff. And so you try to say, okay, yeah, that's good. And you try to forgive them, but something just isn't working. And it's like, well, you know, and you just try to, okay, let's in a way act like nothing ever happened. But that ain't the truth. Isn't the truth. Sorry, I'm not in the South anymore. But anyway, but this book here, there is a proper way to be reconciled. And I go through the steps in this, and if somebody's ever broke your heart, something like that, this will give you the steps, because what happens, and it happened a lot to moms and dads, but generally anybody that's, you know, they've been done wrong, legitimately, not, you know, but legitimately done wrong, and then they try to go on like, you know, let's forgive and forget, and they have a hard time, then if that's happened to you, you're the one that starts getting accused of not being right with God because, well, you can't forgive. And that's not true. It's things weren't done right. And anyway, I go through the various things in here. This, all the steps and things in here have been a big help to me. And Lord, will be a big help to you. And then this book here, you'll have to forgive me for the California, but this is Good Vibrations. And that's California in me. But those of you who know me for a while, I lost my voice. And went to therapy to get it back. They wanted the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center wanted to do Botox in the neck, which is the standard. I'm not against that. It is the standard treatment. I didn't want to do that, and so I did exercises to get my voice back. And this book is a detailed steps of what I do when I work my voice. And though I've got spasmodic dysphonia, the exercises that I do for my voice are good for anybody. The analogy or whatever, it's likened to a gym for the voice. They are exercises that strengthen, stretch, align, and flex the vocal cords. And so if you want to strengthen your voice, these exercises will do that. They are work. This is not, oh, just do it. No, this is work. It's work. But I'm excited about this book in this respect. The last chapter is the plan of salvation. And there's been some of these that have sold, it's at Amazon. And I've had one guy contact me from India, and then I've had some people contact me from Europe and Great Britain, and then others in America. And I'm excited because these people, many of them have tried the Botox and it didn't work. And their life is literally turned upside down. They can't talk, they can't work, they'll lose their jobs. I mean, just really rough. And the plan of salvation is in the back of it. I'm praying that there'll be some people get saved from this in other parts of the world that'll hear the gospel that never would have heard it. So those two are back there. Any other questions you have? My wife kind of oversees that, does a real good job on it. We just got a thing in called Eternal Life. You see that on the cars, Salt Life, you know, and whatever life, and Mafia Life, and whatever. Terry goes, we ought to get some. I said, okay, eternal life. And if you don't know, that figure eight on the bottom is the infinity sign. And cameras, it'll be an infinity. But anyway, those are back there. If you want to put that on your back window, that as well. All right, if you will, take your Bibles, go to John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Yes, oh, I'm not a snob, you know, and walking around, I am the man of God, you know, and I don't want to talk to you. And no, I'm trying to prevent you from getting sick. So that's what's going on there. But John chapter 8 is where we'll start this morning. John chapter 8, and we will start in verse 1. John 8 and verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, Lord, it's good to be saved, good to be washed in the blood, good to know that these words that we just read are your words. And God, I pray that you'd bless this sermon. God, minister, work, move. God, I do not know the needs in the hearts here this morning, but you do. God, I pray that you'd bless this message. Lord, if there's anybody here that's never been born again, God, I pray they'd be born again today. God, I pray they get saved and not die and go to hell. God, I pray that you'd help me now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was given a CD some years ago. It was a girls' home, home for troubled girls, runaway girls, that sort of thing. And on the CD, they did a real good job. And there was a song on there. And I don't know if the girl that wrote it was in there singing or if it was another girl, but the words went like this. Just a hurting girl on the streets of this world, looking for the answer to fill my empty void, turning to every alternative, but only receiving more pain, hoping for someone to love me, trying to hide my shame. And in that song, they go on, that the song says, you said there was no hope, but look at us now. We have Jesus, the answer we have found. And obviously the author of that song, her life had been turned around by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can turn your life around as well. But here in the book of John, chapter 8, is another girl. And this girl has been taken in the act of adultery. The Bible does not say that she was a harlot. Doesn't say that. All it says that she was taken in the act. Of course, the men say that, and they caught her in the act of adultery, which under the law was capital punishment. That tells me this woman, she was desperate. If she would risk her life, it doesn't say why she did what she did, doesn't say anything about that, and I'll get on about the man and all that sort of thing in a minute. But she was obviously desperate. Maybe it was she was lonely. Girls at times will get that way. They'll give a boy whatever he wants, thinking, oh, he'll love me, he'll love me. I know he'll love me. I'm sure he's going to love me. And they don't realize how selfish men can be. And they'll just use her. And then when they're done, they'll go on to another one. You need to wait until you're married before you come together. Amen, amen, and amen. But it didn't say really about her. Maybe she was poor. Maybe she needed money. I don't know. It doesn't say. But it was a life, obviously. She was desperate. Maybe she had deceived herself into thinking, he'll love me. I remember we went out to Eaton. It was a nice restaurant. A couple took us out. The waitress came up, said, you won't, you know, get drinks and all that sort of thing. And the man that was with us, he said to her, try to strike up a conversation, witness to her, and said, so are you married? And she said, yes, I'm married. And he said, oh, great. Well, how long have you been married? And she goes, well, no, I'm not. It's like, well, either you are or you aren't. You know, and it's like, hello? And she said, well, yes, I am. No, I'm not. And we're like, okay. And, you know, come to find out she was living with a guy. You could see on her face the desire, the longing that young man would think enough of her to say, would you marry me? I want you to be the only girl in my life for the rest of my life. You could see it in her, but it wasn't there. We witnessed to her, come to find out she was saved. It had been a kind of one of those new emergent church things and had never grown. And we witnessed to her and said, you know, you're saved. The Lord loves you. But as a father, he's going to spank you. You're not doing right. And but anyway, we witnessed to her. But here's a girl that has been caught in the act of adultery. I'll say three things about this girl. Number one, she was set up. She was set up. Look at verse 4. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. It was a setup. They didn't care about her. They were going to use her to try to trip the Lord up. I mean, they're wicked. But boy, how low to be used to try and trip up the Son of God. Now, you're not going to trip up the Lord. I mean, man thinks, well, you know, we'll figure it out. We can do something. You know, I'll just outsmart God. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? I mean, you know, and some people, they get thinking like that. And it's like, you're not in your right mind, man. I mean, you're talking about the one that made your mind. You know, you're going to outsmart God. They're going to try and catch the word in his words. Doesn't happen. This thing is not going to happen. And but they set her up, and they didn't care about her. They could care less about this woman. And what this is, you know what? That's the world. The world will use you. It's a setup out there. You say, well, like what? Oh, like gambling. Like the casinos. I mean, all that stuff. That's a setup, man. Have you seen how fancy those buildings are and all that stuff? I never will forget it. Man, when I was a teenager, I'm the one that drove, so I had to be 16. So it wasn't too long before I got saved. But a friend of mine, buddy of mine, as we're talking about the mountains of California, up in a Tahoe, there was a concert. And we just kind of spur of the moment said, hey, let's go. And so we did. And it was Alice Cooper. And he's Christian, you know. Yeah, right. But anyway, so we're going to go to Alice Cooper concert. And we got the tickets. We went up there. And I think it was at Harrah's there. And we walked into that casino. And of course, we weren't old enough to gamble, thank God. I've never gambled in my life. Never have. And we walked in, and I said, I got to use the restroom before we go into the place where they're going to do the concert. And I went in the bathroom, and I don't know why it struck me this way, but there was in the men's bathroom, I walk in, there's a waterfall coming down the side, the wall. I mean, in this pool. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, it was like a fountain thing, and I'm like, what is that doing in a men's restroom? I mean, women's, okay, but men's, you know, I'm like, you know, it's trickling down there, you know, and all. And I looked at that thing, I don't know why, I was 16 years old, and I said, man, if they got enough money to put a fountain in the men's restroom, why would I ever want to gamble? That's just how I looked at it. But I'll tell you, there's people out there today, there's people waking up this morning, and their lives have been ruined by that stuff. I mean, the lottery, oh, we'll make it big. No, you won't. Man, they're just using you. Don't you realize that? I mean, you've already got it big. If you're born again, you're richer than all of them. You're richer than Warren Buffett and Elon Musk and Bezos and all that stuff. Why, you're going to heaven, man. They're going to hell. All that gambling. I remember a preacher, one of the best sermons I'd ever heard on gambling. And he's preaching against it, you know, that sort of thing. And he said, he goes, I used to be a cabbie in Vegas. He said, I'd pick him up early in the evening, about 5, 6 o'clock. And, oh, man, young couple, they'd be excited, ready to go. Oh, man, hey, baby, we're going to have it big. And he'd be driving them there, you know, and we're going to have a good time tonight. And she'd be giggling, laughing, and all that sort of thing. And then he said, now, cabbie, come back here about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. We'll be here, you know. And he said, all right. And so he'd come back about 2 a.m., and there they are on the side waiting for the cab. And they're not laughing now. They're not having a good time now. He said, they just stand there and stare. They get in, sit down. He said, they don't talk, they don't nothing. He said, I know what happened. They lost a bunch of money. He said, one night, he said, actually, it was early in the morning, like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. He said, a guy standing there, you know, wanting a cab. He said, I pulled up. He said, went to get in the back, you know, open the door, get in the back, and he stopped. And he said, cabbie, he said, would you do me a favor? And he goes, well, I don't know what. And he said, I'm going to stand in front of you tonight, this car. Would you drive over me? And he goes, no. Why? He said, I lost everything tonight. I've lost it all. What is that? That's a setup, man. That's a setup. You take the booze. I mean, the whiskey and the booze and stuff nowadays. Man, all that stuff. That's a setup, man. You don't need to be messing with that stuff. Well, you know, it's just cooking sherry or it's cooking wine. Well, why do you want to flavor your food like that stuff so your kids will get used to it? Amen, amen, amen. I mean, there was revivals used to break out preaching against the booze, and God's people are starting to bring it into their homes now. It's not right. That stuff will mess you up. Man, I was talking to some guy recently. I forget who that was. I think it was Brother LeGrecky. And he said the Indians, Onondaga Reservation, all that stuff, they said that whiskey and all that stuff, they said there's a devil in that stuff. Yeah. They call it fire water, all that thing. I mean, that stuff, that's a setup. It'll ruin your life. Man, that stuff will destroy you. The drug pushers, all that stuff. Man, they don't care about you. What do they want? They want to separate you from your money. That's it. He's talking about the news broadcast, all that stuff. That's create a fear, create a turmoil. Why? People pay attention to listen. and then we can charge more for the advertisements. That's all that stuff. I mean, this world will set you up. I remember Terry telling me she'd read a story about a woman. A woman ran an abortion clinic. She said, we knew if we could get into the high school, we'd have it made. She said, my goal was to become a millionaire, and I made $1 on every abortion. And she said, I made it. That woman got saved, repented, and got out of it. But she said, we would prescribe the lowest legal dose of birth control. You had to be regimented in order to afford to be effective. And we knew teenagers are not regimented. They're not reliable. And she said, we got in on it and started going. Why? They didn't care what it was going to do to those young girls. They didn't care about the lives that are going to be destroyed. They didn't care. They just wanted the money. What was it? It was a setup is what that was. And this girl, I don't know why, but they set her up. This world set you up. If you're not careful, best friend you got is the Lord Jesus Christ. Best book you can read is that book right there. That's not a setup. That's love. That's love right there. This woman was set up. And then secondly, look at verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees run unto him, a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, she was set up and then she was set down. Can you picture it? There's Jesus Christ. It's early in the morning. People got up early. They were excited. Wow, we've never heard somebody expound the scriptures like this. And people gathered and they're listening. A number of people. And then there's a commotion. And there maybe, and everybody looks over in another direction. And here comes the scribes and Pharisees, and oh, they're in their beautiful white clothes with their beautiful ribbons and the phylacteries around the borders of them of blue, and oh, they had their beards and their hats, and everything was just spotless, and it was a group of the religious leaders coming their way, and everybody turns and looks, and on one side, the other side, religious leaders, but between them, maybe a man on each arm, is this woman. She's not in spotless clothes. Everything's not in order for her. It was an amazing contrast. The Bible doesn't say that she fought, resisted. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say it at all. Matter of fact, they set her in the midst. She didn't get up and run. She didn't do any of that. I wonder if she's so discouraged, so low. They've got her one on each arm, her clothes are just kind of hastily thrown on. Her hair is all messed up, no shoes on her feet. She's walking in, maybe her head hangs forward and her hair just falls over the front of her face. Why? It's a shame. She has no friends. She has no defender. There's nobody there for her. Who was that? I wonder if at one time, I'm sure at one time, that was Daddy's little girl. Daddy'd pick her up and maybe throw her up. Mama nurse her. I don't know how she got to that point. But they bring her in and they set her down in the midst. In front of everybody. All eyes look on her. She's set in the dirt. Her head hangs forward. Her hair is hanging. And it's just shame. There she is all by herself. Just sitting there. No defender, none of that. And they begin to make accusations. You know, Moses and the law commanded us that such be stoned. We caught her in the very act. You say, what is that? That's the law. That's the harshness of the law. I mean, you get set up, you get caught in sin, and then the law paints a picture. It's a very honest, a very real, very ugly. See, what do you mean ugly? Well, thou shalt not lie. You ever told a lie? You're a liar. Thou shalt not steal. You ever steal anything? Well, you're a thief. You're a lying thief. I mean, thou shalt not commit adultery. You ever commit adultery? Well, not me. Well, did you ever think it? You ever look on a woman? Lust after your heart? Jesus said, just same. Well, you're a lying, adulterous thief. Isn't that ugly? Ooh. What is that? That's the law. That's the picture the law paints. And they come in, they set her down in the midst. She's there on the ground. No defender, no friend. Looks like my life is over. There's no doubt to her guilt. She doesn't struggle. She doesn't fight back. She doesn't do anything. There's nothing she could do. That was me. I remember reading this, going over this. I said, that's me. That's me. She was set up. She was set down. I want to say last of all. She was set free. She was set free. They bring her in. Look at verse 6. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. They didn't care about her. They didn't care if she ended up dead. They didn't care. They only wanted to trip the Lord up. And she's down there on the ground, eyes, hair, dirty, maybe dried tear tracks on her cheeks. I don't know. There she is by herself. They make these accusations. She hears them. I guess I'm gone. And as she's down there, Jesus stoops down and he begins to write on the ground. With her head forward, I don't know. And she's like, what? She looks. And now, she's no longer alone. There's somebody came down to her level. There's somebody that came down to defend her. That's Jesus. He came down to her level when she had nobody. There was nobody there. But Jesus came down to where she was. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ left heaven above and came down to this world, came down to this planet, came down to where we are, came down to die and shed his blood to pay for our sins? We had no defender. We had nobody. There was nothing we could do. Jesus came down to pay the price for our sins. She looks out, and there he is, writing on the ground. You say, what did he write? I don't know. Doesn't say. I'm going to guess. But I'm not sure on this. Go to Leviticus. Look at Leviticus 20. Leviticus chapter 20. If I was going to guess, this would be it. You see, they quote the law to him. So Moses commanded us. And he goes, oh, really? We caught her in the act? All right. Look at Leviticus 20. Leviticus chapter 20. And look at verse 10. Leviticus 20 and verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife. Now, it doesn't say she was married. I understand that. The adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Where's the man? If they caught her in the act, where's the man? And if that's the verse, I don't know that, but if it was, Lord said, are you going to quote the verse to me? Well, where is it? That shows they're all guilty. That shows it's a setup. They're guilty. And it's like, uh-oh. Houston, we have a problem. I mean, this did not go the way we really expected it to go. I mean, they thought they're lawyers. They're scribes. All right, this'll work, man. There's no way he can wiggle out of this. Oh, you're not going to outsmart the Lord. I mean, he does that. Go back to John 8. Look, John 8. And he stoops down. And with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He just ignores them. You say, would the Lord do that? He did it. Just ignores them like they're not even there. Just starts writing on the ground. And you know what's interesting? Notice verse 9. And they which heard it. Well, he never says anything. He just writes on the ground. And it says, they which heard it. That shows in your King James Bible, hearing has to do with the heart, not these things on your head. Amen. And they heard it. Can a deaf person hear? I mean, the missionaries going to the deaf. Well, they'll hear the gospel. Well, they can't hear it through their ears, but they'll hear it and get saved. Amen. Amen. And he writes down on the ground, that woman... there with no hope. You know what she sees? She's looking at sandals. She's looking at feet. She's not looking at faces. She's below everybody. And she sees him start to turn around and start to leave. And where she had no hope, she's now getting hope. Oh, they're leaving. He's defending me. I might not die. Oh, they're going. And boy, her heart began to beat faster. Oh, and he stood up and he said, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. And boy, they start to leave. And he goes down and he writes some more. Well, I guess it was after he wrote some more, but nevertheless. And he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I have no idea. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone to watch it. And the woman, standing, she's got hope. When she didn't have any before, now that you're saved, you have hope. When before you were saved, you had no hope without God in the world. And it's not like, well, hope so, maybe so. I mean, it's a sure thing. You got hope in Jesus Christ. And they left. She's standing. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Let me ask you this morning, if you're saved, where are those thine accusers? Are they gone? They're all gone, aren't they? They're all gone. That's what Jesus does. If you're not saved here this morning, if you're not born again, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Otherwise, there's accusers, that law, and it's saying, you're guilty. She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. And maybe she started to walk. He said, neither do I condemn thee. She started to walk and he said, go and sin no more. And that stopped her. He cares about me. You see, when people don't care, they don't care what you do. You want to go out and destroy yourself, ruin your life? They don't care. When somebody cares about you, hey kids, your mom and dad are going, don't do that. No, watch out. Don't do that. Why? They care for you. And I don't know how far she'd gone. She goes and she hears him say, go and sin no more. Oh, and that melted her heart. I think she said, I'm going to follow you because you care for me. And I had no one. I'm going to try this. I don't know how good it's going to go. I was guilty with nothing to say. And they were coming to take me away. But then a voice from heaven was heard that day. Let him go and take me instead. But I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Amen. She was set up, she was set down, and she was set free. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray you bless the message. Thank you, Lord God, for going to that cross, paying the price that we never would have been able to pay. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, if there's anybody here today that does not know for sure if they died today that they'd go to heaven, God, I pray they'd make sure before they leave. Pray they'd realize they're with friends. And God, I pray that they get saved and join us one day on the streets of gold. Lord, please touch hearts, I pray. Now with the heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. But if you're here today and say, preacher, I do not know for sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody like that? Just say, preacher, pray for me. Anybody? All right. Don't see any hands. All right. If you're saved, isn't it good to know that Jesus came, shed his blood, defended, paid the price for you when you had no defender? Lord, bless in the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name.